Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Merle Exit. Well, I usually don't do a show in the afternoon, but I'm doing one. And I'm in New York City. It's 1 p.m. and cloudy outside, but very warm. Matter of fact, I even had to have the ceiling fan on today. Well, we're going to be talking food. Yeah, food. Well, we have Lair Restaurant, which is located in the Lower Manhattan section of New York City and serving up some great, well, we'll call them tapas, but they're more like dim sum. And we're going to have the owners, Larry and Michael, to tell us not only about the food and their preparation, as well as the drinks. Then we have food, more food, Evil Food, not Evil, E-V-I-L, but E-V-O-L Foods are here. And there's burritos, wraps, and more, and they're sold in the frozen food section. But that makes these great is not just the taste, but it's the organic ingredients and the way it's cooked. So that's going to be our show today. And since we're going to talk about food, we have to have, of course, our favorite commercial. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale. Yeah, and you can get these wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. You have to get them sent to you unless you're in the Phoenix area. Well, as we said, going to food. Now, do I have both of you, Larry and Michael, or which one?
Well, this is Michael.
Okay. Is Larry calling in separately?
Larry's calling in separately. I think he should be
calling any
minute now.
Okay, now I got him. All right, I got him on the other one. Okay, now
yeah,
I got you, Larry?
Yes, I am definitely here.
Oh, good, okay.
Can you hear me well?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Are you walking around in the street or anything like that?
No, I'm about to walk into a quiet place so you guys can hear me much better.
Oh, okay.
Is that how it's Lair?
Huh?
I was asking if that quiet place is Lair.
Yeah, that quiet place is actually Lair.
Okay.
Oh.
at least one of us are at the location.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that a dig on the other one?
Yes, it is. It is.
Okay. Well, the first thing I want to talk about is how these two guys got to have the restaurant in the first place.
For me, it was always something that I wanted to do. Originally I started off on the wrong foot, which was finance.
The me is Michael or Larry? Just so we.
This is Larry.
Okay.
I started off on the wrong foot, as many people, they change their careers at least twice in their lifetime. But you know, you maintain that foodiness and being a foodie. You know, I left finance, went to culinary school, and had some experience with that. And then, you know, me and Michael kind of came together, you know, collaborated with ideas, and you know, this was just inevitable. For me, it was inevitable.
Well, you know, Larry and I actually have a similar story. So I also wanted to finance, and I wanted to do the same thing. And you know, again, it was just the right timing, I guess. And we had the opportunity, so we went for it.
So, in other words, did you meet each other in the financial world? Is that?
We met before. We went back in junior high school before we even, you know.
And even before that, our parents actually knew each other. Before we were born, I think.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So.
Oh, that's great.
It goes way back.
Uh huh.
I mean, we're not that old, but it does go way back.
No, you're not that old. I got that already when I met you.
Yeah.
So now, I want to explore the restaurant itself. I want to have you guys describe the decor and the, I guess, the what I would call the sections of the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, it's a very rustic place that's consistent with the neighborhood that it's situated in. You know, the building that we're in is a landmark building. If it's not more than 100 years old, it's very close to. And a lot of the elements in the lounge have exposed features of the building, like brick and steel and stone. So it's very consistent to that. Having said that, the restaurant is also divided into three sections. One has a hand-painted mural of kind of like cave drawings, which is also kind of works hand-in-hand with the rawness of this place. And you have the middle bar section, which has sort of something that you may call a dance floor with a DJ booth, which is something we do going into the night aspect. We have a 30-foot bar with, you know, black granite. And at the end of the lounge restaurant, we have sort of what's called a VIP section, which is a bit elevated. This is where we have the stone and kind of, you know, it's a little bit of a different theme, kind of more black and white thing happening here with wood floors. So
now,
and we have
in the sections, though, just so people understand, it's in the, like, when you first enter, is that what's considered the restaurant portion, or can you also eat in where the
I would say bar
is as well?
You could eat everywhere, but I would say if you want to be seated, the front section and the VIP, the back section, is the restaurant section. And in the middle, we have the bar.
Oh, okay. So in other words, if it's flowing, then is that when you use the back, or just somebody could say, I want to sit in the back or I want to sit in the front?
If it's open, then pretty much you have options. But, you know, we do fill up the front space first, and then, again, based on the request as well, if somebody likes the VIP area and they want to dine there, of course.
Yeah, a lot of people come in predetermined to where they want to sit, whether it was the night before they came here and they spent some time and they like something and they want to come back. So based on that, a lot of people actually reserve a certain location within the lounge.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. All right, so now, of course, now I want to get to the food. The food.
The
All
food
right.
is disgusting. It's... Yeah. Well, we don't want to talk about the food. But, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, I want to get this. Why did you, first of all, why did you decide on, like, and I have to call them, like, for the sake of, I guess, what people think of in a restaurant is tapas as opposed to dim sum. Because the tapas, meaning it's like the size of your, you know what I'm saying? Because with dim sum, I think people have an expectation of, like three of something or four of something, and it's, you know what I'm saying? And they're all like mass-produced kind of thing. But if it's, you know, but the dim sum is like larger than if you go to dim sum. It, the portions are more like tapas.
Yeah, it's a bit larger, but in any case, the tapas is just another word for dim sum in two different languages. This is, one is Spanish and one is Asian. But your classic dim sum meal would be a lady pushing a cart alongside you with many different selections of dim sum varieties, where you can just reach over and grab one or the other. That would be the classic way of eating dim sum. We don't have a person walking. We have a more a modern approach, or I wouldn't want to say modern, but more conventional to the Western world approach, where we actually, you order off the menu.
Well, it's also, I want to comment that it's not like your average dim sum ingredients either.
No. The basic structure may look like basic dim sum, but the ingredients that we use certainly go beyond that.
Do you happen to have the menu in front of you, or do you know it offhand?
We pretty much know it offhand. And I can definitely go over a few items.
Well, actually, because I wanted to kind of go down the whole, well, it's not as if you have a massive list.
No,
so
we don't.
Let's go down the list.
Okay, certainly. One of the first items we have is the pickled local root vegetables, roasted peanuts and grapes. This is a basic salad. I would say a good vegetarian option. Nut, if you have a nut problems with eating nuts, I would say. But it's a simple salad, I would say. For some reason, a lot of people don't necessarily order this one. I think it's pretty good. It just, maybe we should change the name or something.
You said pickled roots? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Well, for instance, what kind of root vegetables do you use?
Well, we have radishes and other items. There's also grapes in there, like I said. And mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember. I think there are carrots as well, and cucumbers. It's all mixed together with this kind of acidy kind of sauce.
Okay.
And they're pickled ahead of time before, so... And I think the grapes are fresh, they're added, and they add that element of some fruitiness.
Actually, it happened to be one of the items that I didn't have.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, it seems to be not to be so popular on the menu, but it's very refreshing, and it's quite palate cleansing.
Well, the next time I go, I'll purposely try that one.
Oh, see, that was, mm-hmm. that was the whole purpose, though. So you come back to just for that dish.
Oh, sure. I want to change the subject for a
mm-hmm.
little while. I want to get to your the chef
mm-hmm.
who has created all these items. What's his name?
Chris Chung.
What's his background, and also what made you decide on dim sum? So let's first get to his background.
Okay,
where'd you get him from?
So Mike, you want to answer?
His background. He used to work in many places, such as Nobu, Ruby Foos, Monkey Bar, China One, China Grill. When we just opened up the restaurant, it wasn't all dim sum. It wasn't all small plates. We also had bigger plates, entrees. But what made us decide to go towards the smaller plates is because you've been at Lair, and we're not a restaurant per se, because we do have couches. The tables are not regular tables like restaurant tables, and so we just thought it would be easier to have smaller plates on the menu with the type of setup we have at Lair.
And where did you get the chef from? I mean, where was he working?
The chef was actually an acquaintance of mine. He was he was my friend's friend. So it's just my friend was kind of involved in helping me find the venue when we were searching.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at many, many different places. And throughout the whole process, you know, I actually met Chris Chung. And, you know, Chris Chung's very nice guy.
We tried his food. We went to his restaurant and, you know, right?
Right, and, you know, we love the food. And obviously it's not the same, the menu is different, but once we got the venue and he saw our kitchen and we started testing and it was good. We liked it, so we stuck with it.
Now, when you decided on the menu, did you just turn to him and say, you know, choose whatever you want, or did you had you tasted some of these items from something he's already cooked?
Well, when we tasted items, they were different from what we have on the menu because we're not going to have the same items. But
we try to keep it seasonal as well.
I mean, did you just turn to him and say, you know, go pick the items, or did you, you know, did you like
we let him go creatively to we had a certain direction towards where we wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
Having him understand this is not a full on restaurant where, you know, like Mikey said, you know, the tables are a bit lower. You know, it's you're sitting on couches. So it has to be comforting to that type of environment. And so, you know, when we designed the menu, we naturally went into the dim sum route. We just realized that dim sum would probably be the ideal way to go to connect with our audience or our target audience.
Okay. So now let's get back again to the menu, and let's continue.
Mm-hmm.
Start with the next item.
Look, oh, sure, one second. Look. The next item would be the, this would be more like something we give away all the time when people come in here. This would be the Chinese chips with homemade duck sauce. There's three different kind of chips there. There's the wonton chip, the taro chip, and there's kind of like a rice chip. There's three different chips. They're a bit seasoned a little bit, and we have duck sauce that comes along with them. We try to, you know, give that out to anyone pretty much who comes into the lounge for dinner.
Now, is he making the chip?
Yeah. Yeah, we make all the chips from scratch, so it's more of a snack, I would say, than a menu item or something that someone comes in to eat.
Oh, it's like, you know, people, like, I suppose, like when they go into a Chinese restaurant and out comes the fried noodles with the duck sauce.
Right, right. Or,
but this is on a higher scale.
And again,
with the three chips, what were the three chips again?
The three chips are, there's a taro root chip, there's a wonton chip, and also like a rice chip.
Oh, okay. So in other words, one is being made from flour, one is from rice, and one is from taro?
That's right, yes.
That's quite interesting. I didn't get to taste that either.
Did you try anything?
That I tasted just about everything else. So just
you've
tasted the serious stuff.
Oh yeah. Okay. So let's go on to the next one.
The next one. Okay. What do we have here?
Chicken pillows.
We have the chicken pillows, that's right. This would be the first real dish. The chicken pillows come with crispy chicken skin and a Johnny Walker blue sauce. The chicken pillows themselves is sort of like a chicken mousse. It's made into like a ball, and then it's boiled, and then placed alongside crispy chicken skin, which is flattened out, with some Johnny Walker Blue sauce, which is actually made with Johnny Walker Blue and kind of like a hoisin sauce. I think it's a beautiful dish. We had some pretty amazing response dish.
So let me ask you. You said it's a chicken mousse. I mean, how is that done?
I believe the way that's done is actually the ground chicken is actually mixed with egg whites very carefully, and then it's somehow through Chris's secrets transformed into a substance. Which is very, very light. It's not a meatball, for instance. It's very, very light.
That's interesting. I think I've seen like things on TV of there's a gadget that manages to transform things into like a mousse. Is that the
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
There's some kind of a gadget, a kitchen gadget
that
I've seen on TV? Or is this,
No gadget. It's actually done in a regular, like a KitchenAid mixer. But I think the way the egg whites are actually applied to it, that's actually folded in.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'd be interested
in
this. Oh, no, I was just kind of wondering. I mean, I could, try to do that myself to see what the,
For me to get a complete detail, I would actually have to ask Chris. We would have to have him on the phone. I can give you, like, the vague direction that they take towards making something.
Sure.
But I would imagine you have to wait for Chris's recipe book.
Is he going to put out one?
He said somewhere in 2018. No, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
crispy chicken skin, I mean, people think,
mm-hmm.
What? Chicken skin?
Yes.
But it actually really tastes good. I mean,
It does taste good. It takes people by surprise.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not like... I mean, if people eat the skin on chicken and they don't think about it, it's like, oh, I'm going to have this piece, unless it's like, oh, I want that piece of skin because it was roasted and got, crispy.
Yeah.
But this is, like, really crispy.
I think the trick is to make something crispy without overcooking it, because a lot of people, many people have the perception of if the chicken skin is crispy, it's probably overcooked and it's got some bitterness to it, but... You know, we don't do that. It stays, and it's very flavorful. It's completely crispy, and I think it's wonderful.
Is he like taking a piece of skin and cooking it to make this way, as opposed to cooking a chicken and it just taking a piece of skin off?
Anytime, let's say we're cooking. So things don't go to waste. For instance, if we are cooking the chicken pillows or whether it's the dumplings, we take the skin, he peels the skin off, and he puts it between two metal plates into the oven, and, it just crispens up.
It's not like put in a deep fryer or anything?
No, it's not deep fried. It's not deep fried at all. It's just... It's fully flattened out under pressure and just in the oven.
Wow. Well, that's not one I'll try. Because of, I guess, taking the two things and, the two instruments that you're going to use is something like, okay, I think I'll have that in my house so every time I want to make crispy skins.
I'm sure you can figure something out to make something like that. you know, everybody has metal things or even something that can withstand heat, maybe two pans that you can put in the oven and
right.
put some weight on the other pan and just flatten out the skin. And it's an excellent addition to just about anything. And then you maybe, who knows, you can take scissors and cut it into many pieces and throw it into a salad.
That's true. Wow. And if people, you know, if people, by the way, in case people think it's odd, I mean, like, it, for those people who eat, like, pork belly skins, don't, you know, don't complain.
Oh, nothing. nothing is odd for me. I mean, you know, I mean, we live in a food culture today. I mean, it's all over TV. It's everywhere. Everyone is traveling, and everybody's eating all kinds of cockroaches. And, you know, I mean, we don't cook cockroaches, but...
They eat anything. I know.
You know what I
always find humorous when I talk about when you make greasin. You know, the chicken fat.
Mm-hmm.
Fry the chicken fat. And people say, oh, you eat that stuff? And I look at them and go, what would you eat?
Yeah.
Why is it any different from, I mean, there's versions of pork that are people eating, to, and you know, what's it, I mean, it's like you're eating bacon, I mean, like.
Right. I mean, it's what you grow up as, it's your childhood, what you think is the norm, and then, you know, something else looks deviant, and
mm-hmm.
you're going to obviously push away from it, like, you know, I can't do that, but, you know, to another culture, that's just daily life.
Yeah, and you see that everywhere. I love greasin
mm-hmm.
on a piece of rye bread.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, that's the thing. When especially if you're making chopped liver,
right?
And you have to fry the liver in the chicken fat. I mean, it's a must, you know. All right, so let's get to the next item on the menu.
Okay. I'm actually walking around when and I have to walk up to the menu just so I can look at it. But the next item is the roasted bone marrow with extra marmalade and scallion
uh-huh.
pancake.
You have to describe that one. Yes.
I mean, I think there's a trend, and it's not a new trend by any means in New York City with the bone marrow. Many people, many places, like Blue Ribbon, for instance, was one of the first places to start serving that. There's a place called Prune, you know. They all serve bone marrow their own way. We've decided to do it, which is we actually slice the bone the long way in half, which opens up the entire bone marrow. And the seasoning on the marrow is actually this extra marmalade, which is cooked with bacon and different types of, I believe, Chinese sausage as well. And that's what an extra sauce is many of these things, fatty things, actually cooked together for a long time. And it's, you probably will put a dollop of this extra marinade on the bone marrow, which gives it all the saltiness and the flavor. And to complement that, we have scallion pancakes, which is an Asian staple. Scallion pancakes, which you know, an individual would take a spoon and take a good chunk of the bone marrow and the XO marmalade and just spread it on the scallion pancake. It's not for the lighthearted, but it's absolutely delicious.
That is very... It's very common of, especially like what people pay to have osso buco, and that's
you're right, right.
You know, with the veal, and then it's like you can't wait for the marrow. That's the
mm-hmm.
you know to eat the marrow, and it's interesting that the marrow, and are you using beef?
Yes, yeah, we are using beef.
The beef bones.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know what, again, the next time I go to the Chinese supermarket, and it happens,
mm-hmm.
they have, you get a whole bag of marrow bones for like a buck, but not all of them, I mean, they're supposed
mm-hmm.
to be soup bones, but not all of them have a lot of marrow, you know.
Yeah,
but
you probably have to go for the big fat ones.
Yeah. But the next time I go, I'm going to ask them if they might be able to cut them differently.
Oh, I think, I think they do cut them.
When you're dealing with restaurants, you can probably get away because we go through a large volume. If you go to a butcher, there's no reason why, you know, they have the saw. There's no reason why they wouldn't be able to cut it the way you would want it.
Okay. Well, next I'm going to definitely ask them because I usually don't, I'll usually just like cook it, just eat it, you know, just
it's hard to get to sometimes.
Yeah, and it's also like, I actually haven't tried cooking it other than, you know, when it's, however I'm cooking, like if it's in a soup or, you know, whatever, where I've actually done something with the marrow,
right,
you know, to cook it a different way, and that, if you're eating it that way, it's, I guess, fattier tasting, if you want to kind of, you know, but the way when you do it, it's not.
Yeah, well, the way we serve it is actually in its pure form, you know, you just take and you eat it as is. In many different kitchens, in the French kitchens, it's done in a different way where it's actually cooked and added to a puree. It adds an extra element of fullness and fattiness and a kind of a beef flavor. But it's not there in its full form, in its pure form. It's just there to enhance a certain puree, whether it could be mashed potatoes or maybe cauliflower puree.
Right. All right, let's go to the next item.
Sure. Wait, I got to run up.
That's okay.
All right, the next item on the list would be the oysters on the half shell with a seared scallop and a bit of a truffle oil on it.
Now, the oysters, are they raw?
The oysters are raw.
Okay. I'm just curious, what oysters are you using?
We've gotten
the
new supplier.
Blue Point, okay. Okay, just wondering. I love Blue Point. I find Blue Point a very, they're like refreshing and meaty.
I find it quite rich. To be honest, it's a full flavored scallop. I mean, oyster.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you do? So you're putting scallops, you said, on it?
Yes. Yes. Essentially, this dish is a combination of cooked and uncooked together because the scallop is actually the scallop is cooked, the oyster is raw, and it's a very simple dish, but it meets those both worlds very nicely. It's just kind of we put the scallop on top of the oyster, and we put a little droplet of truffle oil, which everybody knows truffle oil and what it does to dishes.
Well, you know, are you putting in you're not putting an entire scallop on each one, are you?
Not an entire scallop. We slice them thinly, and it's just a thinly slice that would cover the oyster itself.
Okay. So in other words, it's not obvious.
Yeah. No. That dish is designed to be eaten right after it's cooked. So we try to bring it to the table immediately and have people actually eat that because the scallop is warm, but the oyster is cold. And
right.
To get the best of both worlds, you would have to eat it right away before the scallop actually heats up the oyster, which is not very pleasant, as you know.
Right. Okay, next.
Next.
Next item.
The next item on the list is the mango noodle salad with rock shrimp and chili lime. This would be the only dish we have that's quite actually influenced from Thai cuisine. It's kind of like it's everything is julienned. Like we have carrots, we have mango, we have cucumbers, which is mixed in together, and all of those items are julienned, which is cut very finely, like kind of like hair. And then the sauce is a combination of tomato juice and there's fish sauce and lime juice, a few other things that Chris would add to this, which I'm not entirely sure of. And it's garnished with cilantro and also julienne mint. I would say it's the closest dish that we have related to Thai cuisine. And then just a rock shrimp that's added to it. It's a cold salad.
Yeah. And by the way, just in case anybody is wondering at this point, there isn't anything I didn't like, so I'm not so which is why I'm not commenting on saying this was delicious, this was delicious. It was all delicious. So let's get to the next.
It's a classic Thai dish, but it's not prepared exactly the way it would be done in a classic Thai restaurant. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Next item.
Next item would be the coconut bio bread, and it's five spice, local honey, hoisin butter. This dish is, we have three little buns, kind of like bio buns, which is a I'm not exactly sure exactly how they cook it. I know the dough is infused with ammonia in the beginning, and the ammonia dries out. It creates what's called a bio bun or bio bread, which you can get in Chinatown, but we make it ourselves. But that's also infused with coconut shavings, and it creates a coconut flavor. And we also have the five spice infused butter with honey. It's a different dish to everything else because it's got a little sweetness to it, and it's kind of like a toast, an Asian toast.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's actually three that I have to add. Okay.
All right.
I needed to make sure I had room for all the other things. That's why.
Okay.
So let's go ahead. The next item.
So you have three different reasons to come back here now.
Yes, you got it.
Yep. The next item is a pretty popular one. It's the lobster bacon avocado and in a wonton roll, in a crispy wonton roll. It's popular for one reason. It's because there's lobster and bacon in it, which is a match made in heaven, if you ask any chef. And the avocado to smooth things out. I believe mayonnaise is added to it to create that creaminess with the avocado and the lobster and bacon and a few other spices. And everything is mixed and packed into a crispy wonton roll. Very popular dish. People love it. I don't see why anybody would not.
Unless you're kosher.
Unless you're kosher.
Okay, let's go to the next item.
But that's a whole different topic. That would last a very, very long time, more time than you have on the radio.
Let's go to the next item.
No. The next item would be, it's our house salad with ginger dressing. This is a very basic dish. For the person that wouldn't like to try anything on the menu, if somebody brought in a friend or a person to the party which wants no part of this food, they can order this dish. Or if you're a vegetarian as well and you're watching your weight.
Now, what's in the salad? Basically,
It's mixed greens. With also like a wonton, just like a wonton chips that's crumbled into the salad, or it could be as whole, with some cucumbers that are diced, and and cherry tomatoes. Everything is mixed together with our house ginger dressing.
So you make your own ginger dressing too there, huh?
We do. Yes,
oh,
we do.
Okay.
We absolutely do.
Have to try that too. Next item.
Next item would be my favorite item on this entire list. This would be the dry-aged black Angus beef dumplings.
They're my favorite, too.
This is actually an approach we tested on. We actually sat down with Chris, and we tried different types of beef. And there's the fresh beef, and then there was a 10-day aged beef, and then there was a 28 days aged. And it was crystal clear for us that 28 days completely just took over the whole thing. It's got so much what people call umami, which is something I am still trying to figure out what it is. But it's full flavored dumpling. And this is the first time that I've ever seen that aged beef is actually introduced in a dumpling type of a setting. So it's very juicy inside after it's cooked. It's served with a sauce, and it's absolutely delicious.
Okay, yeah, it was absolutely delicious. I have to say that, and it was one of my favorites too.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get now to the next item.
And the next item is the chicken and foie gras San Jin dumplings. It's a different shaped dumpling. It is also ground chicken with foie gras that's mixed in together. A few other things that they add into it, and you get yourself a dumpling. A lot of people like that as well. Chicken lovers would absolutely love that. And it's also served with a sauce. I believe you get like 5 dumplings per order.
Mm. And the next item?
And the next, why do I walk away from the menu so far away?
That's okay.
The next item is the eggplant and mushroom shumai. Very popular Chinese dish. It's kind of like a dumpling with very thin dough, but it's open-faced. And where you have eggplant and shiitake mushrooms with other spices mixed together and filled in. It's steamed, and it's also served with a sauce, and it's absolutely delicious.
Well, all the dumplings are steamed, right?
Yeah, the chicken and beef dumplings are steamed first, and then they're pan-fried a little bit to get a little bit of what they call Maillard reaction, where you get a little bit of that, the dough burns a little bit, and it's got a little bit of crunchiness.
Okay. And next item.
The next item, now we're into the sweet plates, which is the Shanghai walnut-crusted marshmallows. This was a home run for us, and I believe for everyone that actually came here. It's a throwback for people because, not many people have eaten marshmallows in a long time. But we have an approach that we do. The marshmallows are burnt, just like you would in a campfire. But we add many different elements, different nuts, caramel, whipped cream, and everything. And the combination of the entire thing just surprises a lot of people that you can actually have such a fine dessert item with a marshmallow.
Okay. And the next one?
The next item,
I had that one. Go ahead.
The what?
I know I tried 2 of them, and I'm trying to remember. That was one, and there's also
we have a selection of ice creams and sorbets. You would have to ask, depending on which day, which ice cream and sorbet we have. Usually we have the vanilla, the chocolate, and we have the ginger, and lychee and other things, and honey apple, I think, yeah. So there's a selection. You would just have to ask the waitress or the waiter what we have that
day. And the last sweets was?
And the last item on the menu would be the caramel apple crispy plum. It's kind of complex because there are many elements. There's a plum that's carameled and the other fruits that are carameled together with another kind of like a sweet bio bread, which is sliced thinly. And there is a dairy, a kind of like a milky cream that gets poured over. And there are a few other things in there. It's quite complex. I like it. And a lot of people like it too.
Well, that's the food part of it. I think I your partner there, I lost him. He's not on the online right now.
I was
going to ask about the let me just get in instead of going into all of these absolutely wonderful cocktails that you guys concocted. The two that I just want to get, the thing I want to just get in before I got to get to the next guest is about the sangria.
The sangria, yes.
Yeah. What?
We make the sangria on the premises. We never use any kind of pre-made juices or anything like that. The sangria that we make, the red sangria, has a peach schnapps in it. And it has all fresh fruits that we cut here on the premises with, obviously, red wine and mint that we add to it. Are more popular. Also, sangria, we have white sangria, which is also, we have white wine. And we add elderflower liqueur. And we add fresh sage to it, also with fresh fruits, which people absolutely love. It was quite a hit.
I have to tell you that I wasn't gonna have anything to drink at all, and I tried the sangrias, and I prefer white wine anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really good. Well, I wish I can get into all of the other drinks. Now, do you have a website?
We do have a website. It's actually LairNYC, LairNYC.com. It's an artistic website. It's flash-based. I would encourage people to check it out because we also had a pretty good response with that.
That's great. Yeah, I'll make sure that, I'll be writing an article. That should be in the next week's paper. Now that I got a better description, because one of the things, I didn't just want to write down, like what's on the menu description. I'd love to, be able to go into it like a little more so that, people will drool a little while they're reading.
Right.
What I mean? As they're probably doing right now.
Well, I hope so.
And the location, exact location is?
Is 201 Lafayette Street. It's between Kenmare and Broome.
Okay. I appreciate you calling in and giving us all the descriptions.
Thank you for inviting us, Marley.
I'll throw in, some of the drinks, some of the other drinks that you guys, have some outrageous preparations. I guess which one of you was the bartender?
Michael is actually the bartender. He knows a lot about the bartending aspect of it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm more of the culinary guy, hence talking about the menu.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you again, and have a great day.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Sure. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. Goodness gracious. We're going to be going from food to food. That's what we're going to do. Okay, because I was going to take a break, but I don't want to take a break. I'd like to go in from food to food. Now, this is, we're not talking a restaurant this time, and it's not something you can go to a restaurant and order, not a restaurant per se, but I came across these absolutely fabulous burritos, bowls, wraps, Well, let's let them talk about it. It's called EVOL, spelled E-V-O-L, not evil, because they are not evil. And I think I have, do I have Phil?
You have Danielle from EVOL.
Oh, is Phil on the line too, or is...
No, he's not going to be able to call in today.
Okay, so you have to do all the description. First, I want
to
get into how this all, you know, what how this kind of like came about, and then we'll get into the food itself.
Definitely. Phil Anson, he started the company way back in 2002. He was a recent grad from Denver University and living the Boulder lifestyle, and he was looking for some sort of job that could sustain his rock climbing habit. So as an accomplished chef, his friends started complimenting his cooking and suggested that, you know, he maybe tries to sell his burritos that he was really good at making. And that's how he really came into business. He started selling burritos out of a cooler to mountain climbers in El Dorado Springs, Colorado. And from that, it grew into a wider distribution, and he did more quick service. He would go into gas stations and different places where people were grabbing and going, you know, with his product. And eventually his aha moment was when he figured out that the true business was in frozen food. And he made his first frozen product and saw that there was a need for a frozen burrito that contained meat and protein, because most of the all-natural and organic burritos on the market were vegetarian. So he really created his own niche in the market and has grown since then. The company started out as Phil's Fresh Foods, and in 2008, he met up with some soon-to-be business partners. Two former Bare Naked execs came in and invested in the company, and we rebranded from Phil's Fresh Foods to Evil Foods, which is love backwards. And since then...
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. So we've gone from burritos, and now we have, like you said, we have wraps, and we have premium burritos, and we have gluten-free entree bowls, we have flatbreads, and we'll have pizzas out here pretty soon.
Okay, so now in terms of like, so in other words, there's one big place, and you're making all these frozen foods, and I guess, are you shipping them to, where are they going? I mean, like when people, it's not like you can go online and say, you know, can I have, right?
Not yet, no. We would like to someday soon have an online store,
right.
But with frozen food, it's pretty tricky and expensive to ship just because of
mm-hmm.
the dry ice and materials involved. But we're very proud that we still do all of our own manufacturing. A lot of companies will use outside manufacturers to make and manufacture their product. But we do all of ours locally in Boulder, just down the street from our headquarters. And after they're manufactured, they go into a frozen fulfillment center. And from there, they go into our distributors like UNFI and Sysco. And our distributors are the ones who bring them into the stores and make sure that everything's on the shelves.
Now, in deciding, did your company decide on where they should be distributed, like what stores, or?
Yep, absolutely. That's, you know, we're still a pretty small company, so that's where most of our effort is going right now, is getting food on the shelves. So we have a pretty large sales team that dedicates their time to introducing new retailers to EVOL and trying to get EVOL on the shelves everywhere nationwide. But so far, we've done a pretty good job, and you can find us in about 7,000 stores nationwide, from everything from like Kroger to Whole Foods to your small mom-and-pop shops.
Okay, so you'll find them like, so Whole Foods is one, and then also I noticed you've cornered the market at Stop and Shop. You got them at a whole bunch of places there, huh?
Correct, yes. Yeah, our East Coast distribution is actually going very well, and you know, we hope to make it more convenient so everywhere you go, you can walk in and, you know, grab EVOL. But like I said, with being a small company, it's sometimes difficult to get your products on the shelves because you're going up against very large companies who have the money, you know, to pay for slotting fees to get their products on the shelves before yours. So, you know, we've been slowly working our way up, but in the past 2 years, we've seen a great jump in our distribution, and consumers are starting to demand us in their local stores. And just through our consumers wanting to see more Evil, we've seen our distribution increase quite a bit.
Okay. What I want to do is go into the foods themselves, and then get some idea on like what people are in terms of like if somebody bought one pricing wise, what are they looking at? But let's get to the food first. Yeah, let's start with the things that I had tasted, which are bowls, which is interesting in itself. The bowl itself. I want to pass on that. Like, I looked at the directions, and I don't have a microwave oven, and I don't have a toaster oven, and I hate using my oven. And I'm looking at that, and I use the new wave oven for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm looking at it, I'm saying, this can't go into an oven. I mean, it's like paper. This is like this cardboard kind of thing. I can't put. And the first time I said, well, and I had, I think what I had was the fire grilled steak. And I'm looking.
Hi.
Well, I took it out, put it in a pan, and just like let it cook up and ate it because I didn't know what to do. And then I emailed you saying, like, how does this thing allow to go in the oven? And explain what this cardboard bowl is actually made of.
Right. Well, our new bowls, what's really great about them is we're a very sustainably focused company. And with frozen food, it's hard to introduce sustainable packaging just because of the nature of things going into the freezer and how they're heated up. So with the plastic around our burritos, we haven't been able to find a compostable plastic yet. But with our bowls, we had the opportunity to come out with a compostable bowl. So what you were seeing in your bowl wasn't actually cardboard. Our bowls are made from compostable sugarcane fibers. And the sugarcane fibers are a natural extract from the sugarcane making process. So we're able to reduce waste from that process. And when you may have noticed, but they're almost like a woven type feeling to them. And it's very sturdy for the most part. If they get too wet or soggy, the bowls can come apart. But as far as cooking in the microwave or in the oven, they seem to hold up pretty well. And they can be put right into your compost when you're done with it, so it can be a less waste of a meal, so to say.
Well, now as far as the varieties, you got the bean and cheese enchilada. Describe like what that is.
Definitely, and well, the other great thing about our bowls is that they're gluten free. So our bean and cheese enchilada, it has corn tortillas, it has hormone-free cheese, a lot of it, beans, and a homemade enchilada sauce. We love to make as much as we can by hand at our own facility so we don't have to add extra ingredients to our ingredient statement. And, you know, you get those long lists where, like, somebody will have a sauce, and, I mean, the sauce alone will have, you know, 15 different ingredients in it. So the more that we can make in-house, the more we can simplify the process. So it's pretty much just your basic enchilada. We serve it up like a bowl, so it's almost like a casserole style. But if you're like me, you know, I cook it up. I add some sour cream and some hot sauce to it, and it's a pretty authentic tasting Mexican meal.
I noticed this a pattern, by the way, just in the food that you'll kind of see to it that they're using like potatoes or beans, or so it's like the food is very filling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's not like you know, you get, yeah, they're very filling. So what kind of beans do you use? I'm just curious.
It depends on the product, but we use both pinto bean and black beans. So it does add a good source of natural protein and fiber to our products, but does make it, you know, more of a sustainable lunch or snack or whatever it is that you're eating. And our beans are organic, which is a great feature of our product. Not all of our ingredients are organic, but all of our ingredients are all natural. And same with our rice. In some of our products, we have brown rice, like the teriyaki chicken bowl I sent you has brown rice in it, but some of our burritos have white rice just because it seems to bring out a more authentic Mexican taste to it when we add the cilantro to it and lime to our sauce.
That's what I had for lunch was a teriyaki.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What did you think of it?
Well, I have to use the word surprising. It's like I'm eating, the contents of a burrito, and somehow I'm not expecting something that's, I guess, Chinese salty. You know what I'm talking about? The teriyaki sauce. There's an expectation of Mexican taste, and I'm getting something other. Not that I didn't like it, but that was my reaction to it. But it was delicious. I'm just saying that was the thing that was a surprise. After I think the first one I had tasted was the fire grilled steak.
That one does seem to have more of like that burrito bowl type taste to it, where our teriyaki chicken is nothing like a burrito. It incorporates the new ethnic flavors that we're trying to introduce to the market. But in our fire grilled steak bowl, we use some of the best grade meat that you're going to find on the shelves anywhere. We only use humanely and sustainably raised meat. All of our meat comes from Nyman Ranch, which is one of the nation's top family farms, or string of family farms. So it's a nice, satisfying meal, and it's one of those that you feel good about after you eat, just knowing where your ingredients come from and how they're prepared and everything that goes into it.
You know, the funny thing was, and I just wanted to share this, like when I did this with the fire grilled one that I like had to throw into the pan, and I looked at it, I said, wow, that really doesn't look like much food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I put it into a plate and I was eating it, and of course I didn't gouge it, down. I was eating it,
right.
And when I finished eating it, I said, this is quite filling. It's not, I didn't feel like, oh, I need to have two of these.
Right.
Right. And I'm going to, I have to tell you what I'm thinking about for a while, doing something like a burrito for breakfast, a burrito for lunch, and a sensible meal. What they call this, in other words, and make sure that I have like but add like salad,
right?
Actually, because these burritos are they're quite filling, and they're good. Everything's like good for you, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
So what I want to
do is get into the burritos themselves. Now you have 11 different burritos. Is that it?
Correct. Of our classic burritos, and those are 6 and 8 ounce size burritos.
Mm-hmm.
But we now have a line of mini burritos, which are 3 ounce versions of our classic burritos. So they're perfect little snack size. All of them are under 190 calories. They have between 3 and 7 grams of protein, same amount of fiber. So they're a really smart meal option. Or like you said, our mini burritos are really great for pairing with like a soup or salad for lunch. And it gives you that all around nutrition and the satisfaction of eating a burrito without having to eat a full size one.
Okay, so let's go down the list now, and I wrote the list of the burritos. I know there. Well, we'll also mention afterwards, the other products you have. But in terms of the burritos themselves, like I wrote down like a description of like 70% organic or just all natural,
mm-hmm.
or things like that. So let's start with the veggie fajita. What's in there?
Our veggie fajitas are great. It's my personal favorite. They have a whole wheat flour tortilla, which is great because it kind of the rest of our other than our other tofu and spinach satay have a white tortilla. We fill that with sautéed red and green bell peppers, our organic black beans that I mentioned earlier, organic brown rice, and an authentic tomato and corn roasted salsa that we make by hand at our manufacturing facility. And it is, it's a vegan product. It's one of those that if you were to try it, you would never guess it was vegan, but my personal preference is to heat it up and then I enrolled a little bit and add some cheese on top. So just to add a little bit more Mexican flavor and then heat it back up for another 15 seconds. And it's my favorite lunch ever.
What kind of cheese is being used in the burritos? What type of cheese? Or does it vary?
We use hormone-free Monterey Jack cheese in our burritos.
Oh, okay. So in other words, are most of the veggies are organic too?
Correct. Yes, they are.
Okay. Next down the list is the cilantro lime chicken. Describe that one, which is also 70% organic.
Yeah, this one's great. It's 6 ounces, so it's a little smaller than our 8 ounce ones, but at 6 ounces, it still has 16 grams of protein and 4 grams of fiber. And we use cilantro lime white meat chicken, and all of our chicken is humanely and sustainably raised. We get our chicken from Petaluma Poultry out in California. And then we add black beans, brown rice, Monterey Jack cheese, and then we add our authentic tomato and roasted corn salsa to that one as well.
Okay. Next is the basic bean and cheese.
This one's great if you have kids or if you have any picky eaters in your family. It's just pinto beans blended with our mild hatch green chili sauce. It's not very spicy, even though it says green chilies in it. It just kind of adds a little bit more of a bite to it than you would get with just eating beans and cheese. And then we add our Monterey Jack cheese and our tasty tortilla.
Now, let me ask you a question regarding the tortilla itself. Are you using white flour?
In this one, it is. It's white flour. We get these delivered daily every day before we run our production. So the tortillas are coming in fresh to our manufacturing facility, and they're wrapped up and frozen the day that they're made. So our tortillas are probably some of the freshest that you're going to get just because all of the taste is preserved when it's frozen. But, yes, we have both a whole wheat flour tortilla and we have a white flour tortilla as well.
Okay. So, in other words, depending on which one you get, it could be one or the other.
Yeah, and you'll notice, like I said, the only two that have the whole wheat tortilla are our veggie fajita and our tofu and spinach satay.
Uh-huh.
But we taste preference for most people is the white flour tortilla. It's what most people are most familiar with as far as Mexican food.
And by the way, I was very good. Yesterday I had the egg and green chili one, which we'll just
oh,
get to at
some point. Oh, that was good.
And what happened is, as I was eating it, I was Skyping one of my friends. And I just, I just didn't think about it. And, I took a bite, and she goes, "Wow, what is that crunch?" I said, "Oh, I forgot that, that the mouthpiece is near my mouth, and I was eating it, you know." And she said, "You should do that while you're on the air, so people can hear the crunch." And it's true. It's really, it's very flaky, crunchy when it comes out.
And if you like that crunchy sort of taste to burritos, which I do, because I hate the microwave burritos that when you make them, the tortilla gets all soggy and gross. And the great thing about our tortillas is they hold up very well through the freezing process and through the heating process. But mm-hmm. if you want to add that crunch to it, here at our office we have a few panini presses. So after we heat them up, we put them in a panini press for about 3 to 5 minutes until they're golden brown, and they it's a nice little toasted crunch to it that you don't get from your regular microwave burrito.
Oh, I guess that's why when I'm putting it in the new wave oven, that's why they're coming out nice and crunchy.
I'm sure.
Thank God for the new wave oven, because I have to tell you, I don't know how, I mean, I haven't had the stove for like a long, long time, but I bought, mm-hmm. I bought a stove, and I haven't used the oven yet.
Oh.
Because I'm either I'll either find a way to cook on top of the stove, and I have all kinds of gadgets, but once I got this new wave oven, and it was like, oh, I just put it in there and let it cook, and I went, oh, my goodness gracious, it comes out perfect, you know. I want to describe this particular, the egg and green chill, and I the comment I have about it, by the way, is that I was reluctant to have anything that had any of the green chili in it, because I don't eat spicy food.
Right.
And yet it wasn't, I have to use, you're right, there's a kick, it's a kick. And it's not like, oh my God, I need to grab a glass of milk.
Yeah, absolutely. It's frozen food. We don't want to, out here in Colorado where we're based, people love spicy food. And whenever we go and do events with our burritos, I mean, people are just like, putting Cholula and Tabasco sauce all over everything. And in my experience with being out on the East Coast is that spicy foods just aren't as prevalent or as well liked out there. So we go for a very mild green chili in our burritos, just something enough that you know that there's flavor and taste there, but not so much that it's too spicy that you can't eat it.
Right. Well, and the egg and green chili, it's more than just egg and green chili. Right. It was
correct.
Potatoes, I believe. I'm trying to remember what. I'll let you describe what was in there.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. We have cage-free scrambled eggs. We get our eggs from Wilcox Family Farms out in Washington State, and then we have herb roasted potatoes that we make in-house at our manufacturing facility. Pinto beans, Monterey Jack cheese. And then our homemade hatch green chili stew, which is something that our founder chef originally made by hand, and it's delicious, as I'm sure you can agree with since you had it yesterday.
Oh, yeah. And while we're on that subject, I want to talk about the other two, what I'll call the breakfast ones, because, you know, with egg, mm-hmm. we have the egg and sausage.
Correct,
and,
yes.
Yeah, and what's... is it basically the same thing, like, in other words, the egg and you have the potato, et cetera, and then sausage?
Correct, yeah. Instead of having green chili, we have a chorizo sausage that, like the green chili, has a bite to it, but not so much that it's spicy. And when we go and do big events, we usually hand out our egg and potato burrito and our egg and sausage burrito. And our egg and sausage burrito is by far the most well-liked. People just love this one. It tastes just very authentic. You don't get that sausage, that chorizo sausage taste from very many products that you can find in the freezer section.
Mm. And the egg and potato?
Yeah, and that one's a little bit milder, a little bit more just like your traditional breakfast burrito. It has the scrambled eggs, herb roasted potatoes, red and green bell peppers, Monterey Jack cheese, and our homemade salsa. This is actually my personal favorite just because I love the eggs and I love how well or how great everything tastes mixed in together. But it's not overly spicy and it's very satisfying for a breakfast or a lunch, which I usually have for lunch.
Mm. Okay, now let's continue with some of the others down the list here. Tofu and spinach sauté. Tell us about that.
Yeah. You know, some people hear tofu and they turn up their nose a little bit, but this one actually does very well on shelves just because there is a very large vegetarian population or vegan population, and they're looking for quick on-the-go meals just as much as anybody. But this has tofu sautéed with spinach, herb roasted potatoes, black beans, and our homemade salsa. And like the veggie fajita one that I told you about first, it doesn't taste vegan at all. It tastes very delicious, and people who normally turn up their nose at tofu end up loving this burrito just because it doesn't taste like tofu at all, or it doesn't taste like what you associate with, you know, granola-type hippie food, as some people would say.
Right, yeah. Next is the chicken, bean, and rice.
Yeah, this one is our best seller. It has 21 grams of protein and 6 grams of fiber for 8 ounces. So it's a very sustaining meal, and it's not too large. You know, you go to Chipotle where you get a chicken burrito, and it's 24 ounces. And, you know, this one at 8 ounces is a very sustainable meal. It's going to get you through your afternoon. And in this one, we put our free-range chicken, We have a homemade chili sauce that we roast the chicken in. So again, like our green chili, it's going to give you the kick, but you know, not too much spice, just enough so it doesn't taste like a, you know, dried out chicken burrito. And then we put in our pinto beans, rice, Monterey Jack cheese, and our authentic tomato and roasted corn salsa.
I can't wait for dinner, okay? The shredded beef.
Yeah, the shredded beef is also one of our top sellers. People really do, they want their lunch. People are becoming more conscious of, you know, their protein content and, you know, the quality of food that they're eating, which is why our meat burritos are such great sellers. Again, this one has 20 grams of protein and 6 grams of fiber, and it has tender shredded beef, and we get our beef from Nyman Ranch, so it's humanely and sustainably raised, and you can feel good about that. It has pinto beans, rice, Monterey Jack cheese, and our corn salsa, and that as well.
Okay. Then the next is the pork and green chili.
Yeah, this one's going to have, the green chili is the same green chili that you had in your egg and green chili burrito. This one just has the tender pork, and it's cooked in the green chili stew before it's put into the burrito. It has herb-roasted potatoes, pinto beans, and Monterey Jack cheese in this one as well.
Okay, as I'm smacking my lips. Okay,
yeah,
so now I think we got all the 11 burritos, right?
I think so. I think the only one we're missing is our bean, rice, and cheese, which is...
Oh, okay, yeah, the bean, rice, and cheese, okay. Yeah, that one, that's an interesting combo, too.
Yeah, this is kind of like the grown-up version of our pinto bean and cheese burrito. This is my sister, Stephanie. This is her favorite burrito. It has 17 grams of protein, 8 grams of fiber, and just, you know, good serving of rice, Monterey Jack cheese, pinto beans, and our authentic tomato salsa in this one.
Okay. Okay. Now I wanted, we can get to talking about the other products that you have.
Okay, perfect.
What's like is there any difference like when you buy you have burritos that are also wrapped in foil?
No, that's just an image that we use to display the ingredients. But we have the burritos that are wrapped in the plastic, like the classic burritos that you received, and then our premium burritos and wraps come in a box. So they look a little bit different on the shelf, but same general idea.
Okay. Now, what is the difference, like, if you want to call the wraps? What's the difference in, you know, and is it just, are you using the same tortilla?
No, the wraps have a different sort of tortilla. So, for example, our Mediterranean couscous wrap has a sun-dried tomato wrap over it. So it's a little bit different than a burrito. Our veggie curry has a spinach wrap around it. So it's just going to give, like, a little bit different flavor to it. And our wraps were the first extension we did outside of burritos. So we wanted to give our customers a logical, you know, stepping stone to go from eating burritos to eating bowls. And the wraps kind of helped us fill that gap because it's not a burrito, but it's something different, and we were able to incorporate ethnic flavors into the wraps. So it was a good stepping stone from our different product lines.
Okay, and I know that you still have other products, correct?
We do. We already touched on the bowls. Those just came out in January, and they are delicious. Like I said, they're gluten-free, all-natural bowls. We have 4 different flavors of those, including the steak fajita that you mentioned. We have a bean and cheese enchilada, a chicken enchilada, and a teriyaki chicken.
Okay.
And then just a few weeks ago, we launched our new flatbreads, which are kind of like our take on a sophisticated pizza. We have Italian sausage and caramelized onion, barbecue chicken and mozzarella, goat cheese pesto and portobello, and grilled chicken and roasted veggies. So these are, our flatbreads are, they're made for sharing. They're great to pair with a salad or a glass of wine. Obviously, they don't fill the same need as our burritos, where our burritos are great, you know, for if you're heading to work and you need something quick, or, you know, it's portable, it's easy to take around. Where our flatbreads is a chef-created meal in your freezer that all you have to do is heat it up. But we strongly encourage people to make it their own by, you know, adding some of their own toppings or adding their own sides and turning it into a gourmet dinner of their own.
Yeah, it's cool. I'll have to at some point try those. They looked interesting. I was looking online. I said, well, those are, you know, kind of interesting. But you have two things. You have something, I guess, one was like flatbreads and one was pizzettes or something.
We have flatbreads and we have pizzas, which are hitting shelves here in a few weeks. And those are, you know, your traditional style pizzas, but we've done our own take on the toppings and everything at Evil. Our philosophy here is that taste rules. So we don't think frozen food should taste like frozen, which is why you're going to find some unorthodox toppings on our pizzas and our flatbreads and flavors that you don't normally find in the freezer section. We're trying to introduce more of a foodie side to your frozen food.
Well, let me ask you a question in regards to, because they're frozen foods, do you have to put additives and stuff like that into it?
No, our food is all natural. So we use natural preservatives. For example, in our burritos, our lime juice works as a natural preservative in keeping, you know, our products from spoiling or tasting weird. But we don't use any additives. We don't put in any preservatives or chemical preservatives. We believe that food should be clean and should, you know, resemble the way that your grandmother would make it. And we don't want to add, we're looking to shorten our ingredient list as much as possible. We don't ever want to add anything to it.
Now, in terms of, okay, so if we're going to the store, give me an idea of price point on these.
Yeah, you know, and it's different for every one of our products. Our classic burritos are going to be about $2.99, which, as you said, our burritos fill you up. They're a meal in themselves, so it's, you know, for a $3 meal, it's a pretty good deal. Our mini burritos are going to be anywhere from $1.59 to $1.99 on shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Our premium burritos go for about $3.59 to $3.99. And our bowls are $4.99.
Okay. Now, I have to take a look. So, what I had gotten can you tell when you get them whether they're the premium burritos or not? I mean,
yeah, our premium. Absolutely, our premium burritos. They're going to come in a box, so they're going to look a little bit different than the regular ones. And the main difference between our premium burritos and our classic burritos is that our premium burritos are prepared slightly different. So instead of having shredded chicken, we have big chunks of fire-grilled chicken. Instead of having shredded beef, we have fire-grilled steak. So you can actually see the char marks on the beef. You're going to get a little bit more filling in our premium burritos than you get in our classic burritos.
Okay.
But same general idea, same quality of ingredients, you know, just a chef-made preparation that is going to taste a little bit more of like your Chipotle-style burrito.
So if you go to your website, which is it Evil Foods?
Yeah, it's evilfoods.com.
Mm-hmm. And then it'll say you have something where it says like store, where you can buy them, a store locator, right?
Yeah, we have a store locator on our website. And if you guys want to write into us on our Facebook page or on our website and let us know that you're listening in today, we'll be happy to send you some free coupons so you can try out all of our different product lines.
Oh, that's great. Should I write that in the article too, or just for the people listening?
that would be wonderful. We have a contact us page on our website, and you can write us in there, or you can follow us on Facebook, and we do a ton of burrito giveaways and bowl giveaways, and our name on Facebook is still Evil Burritos.
Okay, that's really great. Well, did we miss anything?
I think we covered quite a bit, but I mean, just to reemphasize that, you know, at Ebel, it's all about the taste and the preparation. We believe that food should taste good, and just because it's a quick and convenient meal doesn't mean that you should have to sacrifice on your nutrition or the quality of product that you're getting. And, you know, we hope that people will come find us in the freezer section, and instead of hitting up the drive-through or, you know, spending $15 on lunch going out to eat, that you can find a quality meal right there in your freezer.
It certainly is. And as I said, they are quite filling, even if you think like, oh, is that all there is? And it's like as you're eating it and you're eating it and you're eating it, and then get to the end of it and go, no, one is definitely enough.
Yeah, it's just sustainable nutrition. It's gonna keep you full, and you'll eat some food where it's just the fat and the sugar and the salt that's going to fill you up, and you almost feel too full, where I feel like all of our products are just right for, you know, a pretty normal appetite.
Okay. Well, I so appreciate your calling in and giving us a little love. backwards.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and for those, like, you know, go online and check the store nearest you. And the next time I go to Stop and Shop, I want to look to see the line of products that they do have. And if they don't have enough, I'm gonna ask the frozen food guy and say, oh, well, I heard about this one. You know, can you order some more? We'll see what happens.
That's great. That's the way to get them on the shelves, is our customers are the ones who move and drive product, and if a store knows that you want it, they'll bring it in most times.
Well, it'll be interesting. Actually, what I'm going to do is there's a Stop and Shop in my neighborhood, and there's one like a little farther away, and I'm going to call to the one that's a little farther away and ask them like which ones that they have, because I'm curious to see if, just because they're located near each other, will they have different products or the same ones? You know, that'll be okay. Oh, and oh yeah, one more question in terms of where the product is. It would this be found in like? Because I know like Stop and Shop has a freezer section of organic foods.
Hi.
Is that where I would find it, as opposed to just you know, wherever they sell the frozen food line, would you know?
Exactly. Yeah, in your conventional grocery store, you're going to find us in the natural and organic set. And then, like, at Whole Foods or any sort of all-natural retailer, we'll just be in the normal freezer set.
Okay. All right. So at least I know, you know, where to hunt for in the freezer section, too, and to see, you know, what the story is. All right. I'll even tell them... I'll say, hey, put them on sale for a week and see how people, you know.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Wonderful.
Thanks so much. And I'll get to writing about this. It'll probably be in a couple of weeks because I want to, you know, try all of these. And
perfect.
Okay.
Great. Well, I'll get some flatbreads and pizzas out to you, too, so you can try those out.
Okay, really great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and I'm sure my audience will appreciate knowing about some, you know, good tasty meals on the shelf.
Yeah, definitely, and remind them that they can come to me for some free coupons.
Okay, and say hello to Phil for me.
I will. Thank you so much for your time today.
Okay, have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Ah, yes, that's, I will, I'm going to try the various burritos and give my feedback on all of this. I had one, let's see, what time did I eat? Probably 10, 11 o'clock. It's 3, almost 2, it's like 2:30 on my time. Okay, I'll save it. It's like this is the problem. See, like now... I want one because of the taste, and I'm trying to, like, I don't want to use the word go on a diet, if you know what I mean. I want to lose some weight. And normally this is what I would do, say, well, this tastes good, I want another one, you know, to fulfill taste buds. But I'm looking at, you know, in terms of my stomach, and my stomach is, you know, is still full, so I'm not going to do that. But I got to find out about the brownies. I'm missing my brownies. Well, I'm going to end the show early. I was supposed to have another guest, and that person couldn't be on. So, well, I think I'm going to go have a glass of milk or something, and just at least, oh, I guess I could prepare the salad that I'll eat with the next burrito. So wherever you are, have a great day, evening, morning, or, you know, whenever you're listening to this. I do have a comment, which has absolutely nothing to do with any of the food, and it's, I usually don't talk if you want to use the word political, but there's something I simply do not understand. When there are disasters in other countries, the United States seems to have all these millions of dollars to give to another country for disaster. And I'm seeming to be having a problem trying to figure out the difference between the destruction of an earthquake and the destruction of tornadoes. I mean, you know, it seems, except for the fact that the earth, you know, cracked or whatever, the destruction seems to be the same, and yet, where's money coming? Is money coming from other countries to help the victims of the tornadoes? And how are we spending the money in the United States for the victims of the tornadoes? I don't seem to understand that whole thing, but that's up to the leader of our country, I guess, to decide on who gets the money. But that's just my thing. All right, so as I said, well, have a great day, enjoy whatever you're doing. Let's go find the intro thing there. Okay. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do next week. Next week, I think, am I going away yet? I'm not sure if it's, I'll be going off to California, and I'll see about either I'll be doing some shows right from there, Northern California. So, bye.